Like Roloff said, that's like putting whipped cream on an onion. All right, if you will, take your Bibles this morning. Yeah, I was just kind of wrestling back and forth what to teach on. I know Pastor had held up my book last night, and I thought, well, I'll just go over some of that stuff. So we'll cover the Baptist Bride Heresy and go over some of that. But let me read something to you here. These are idiot sightings. And I've done a few of these myself. So idiot sighting number one, I handed the teller at my bank a withdrawal slip for $400. I said, "May I have large bills, please?" She looked at me and said, "I'm sorry, sir, all the bills are the same size." When I got up off the floor, I explained it to her. Have you read this to him? Have you gone through? Preacher. When my husband and I arrived at an automobile dealership to pick up our car, we were told that the keys had been locked in it. We went to the service department and found a mechanic working feverishly to unlock the driver's side door. As I watched from the passenger side, I instinctively tried the door handle and discovered that it was unlocked. "Hey," I announced to the technician, "it's open." His reply, "I know, I would have got that side." That was a Ford dealership in Canton, Mississippi. This is from Kingman, Kansas. I live in a semi-rural area. We recently had a new neighbor call the local township administrative office to request the removal of the deer crossing sign on our road. The reason? Too many deer are being hit by cars out here. I don't think this is a good place for them to be crossing anymore. My daughter went to a local Taco Bell and ordered a taco. She asked the person behind the counter for minimal lettuce. He said he was sorry, but the only lettuce they had was iceberg. let's see here. this is from Wichita, Kansas. The stoplight on the corner buzzes when it's safe to cross the street. I was crossing with an intellectually challenged coworker of mine. She asked if I knew what the buzzer was for. I explained that it signals blind people when the light is red. Appalled, she responded, "What on earth are blind people doing driving?" She was a probation officer from Wichita. I worked with an individual who plugged her power strip back into itself, and for the sake of her life, couldn't understand why her system would not turn on. She was a deputy of the Dallas County Sheriff's Office, no less. How would you pronounce this child's name? L-E-A. Leah? No. Leah? Nope. Leah? Nope. Lei? Guess again. This child attends a school in Kansas City. Her mother is irate because everyone is getting her name wrong. It's pronounced Ladasha. When the mother was asked about the pronunciation of the name, she said, "The dash don't be silent." All right, go to Ephesians. Ephesians, we'll start there. No, that's all right. Ephesians chapter 5. And now some of you that, you know, you're in the church here and you're getting Bible and eating it up and you don't, you haven't been in other places or whatever, this may not, I may not seem like all that, what would you say, important or prevalent or whatever, you know. But you get out get out in the work and you get around, and it's amazing. And we're talking about independent Baptists now. We're not talking about, you know, although this would fit many of the Southern Baptists or other places. But you get out there, and one of, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I joke. This is a joke, all right? But I'll be glad when I get to heaven and everybody will believe like me. You know, that's, you know. And we will. I mean, everybody will, you know. But I'll be changed on some things as well, obviously. But nevertheless, you get out there and there is a teaching out there. It's prevalent. I've termed it, or it's been termed, Baptist Bride. And the teaching or the belief is that if you're in, and it's really hard to explain so you can get it, but if you're in somebody who believes that, if you're in their church, then you're in the bride of Jesus Christ. But if you're not in their church, but you're saved, then you're just a friend of the bridegroom. Now, that's it in a very concise way, but they'll say, oh yeah, and they'll have friends that they believe are straight, but people in those churches, you know, that they have to get rebaptized when you go from one church to another and get put back into the body of Christ. And there's a lot of that stuff going on. Of course, the Baptist Bible Fellowship is big on it, Springfield. There's various degrees of it and that sort of thing. But there'll be, if you ever visit a church, and one of the signs, these are not all absolutes, but one of the signs would be that they have closed communion. And that means only their local church people can partake of communion. And sometimes they will have it on a Tuesday night so they can make sure there's no visitors present. And or something like that, or a Thursday night, or something like that, just so, you know, it's just for their own local church, that sort of thing. And there's other phrases that they'll use if you're around, and they'll never admit they're a brider. They never do. They'll never admit it, and lots of times they'll be saying things, and it's kind of a coded language, and the people in the pew don't even know what their preacher's saying, and they don't believe it anyway. It's really an amazing thing. But it gets you into bondage. But one of the phrases that they'll use is they'll say, is the church visible or invisible? I use that one a lot. Well, yes, sir, I believe in a visible church. Yes, sir, I have a visible wife, and I'm glad I have a visible wife and not an invisible wife. And they get going on all this stuff. It's like they're cuckoo, you know. And I'll explain some of it here in a minute. Baptism, in their mind, is always water. Whenever they see the word baptize or baptism, it's always water. Whenever they see the word church in the Bible, it's always a physical local church. A brider will look at that, see the word church, they always think it's local and visible, physical church, that sort of thing. And I give you a couple stories. Gerald Sutek years ago he's going around the churches trying to encourage them to get on the streets, street preaching, that sort of thing. And he was in a meeting, he told me he was in a meeting out in Kansas area, it's not the West, I guess Midwest, Plains. But anyway, he was in a meeting out there, a bunch of preachers. And he didn't realize the group he was around. They were briders. And they were singing, they were singing, they're getting it going, you know. You know the song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene? These guys got up and sang, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Baptist. They weren't joking. Now you say, that's crazy. Not to them. Not to them. They were as serious as could be. I was in a church. This is wild. I know this is crazy. But I was in a church. Brighter. And he was saying things, and I'm like, I'm real naive, you know, I didn't realize he was a brider, it was BBF. But he was saying things like, that's impossible. One of the things he said, see, they get into the Greek word, ekklesia, call out assembly, and all that sort of thing. And he said, he's up there preaching, and he said, am I in the church when I'm, and he gave his home address. And he said, am I in the body of Christ? Am I in the church when I'm at? And people are like, the congregation's going, yeah. And he goes, no, I'm not. He said, it's a called out assembly. You're only in the body of Christ when it's assembled and you're there. I'm like, this is crazy, man. This is absolutely crazy. And you say, well, that's weird. But they get just in, they're in La La Land, man. They're just out there. And I'll tell you where they mess up, or one of the mistakes they make, apart from not rightly dividing the Word of God, they confuse the spiritual with the physical, all right? And if you don't separate those two, you can get them really, you can be all bonkers and mixed up there. There's a difference between things and physical things. This book right here, you know what? This is a physical book. But you know what? It's a spiritual book. Forever, O Lord, thy word settled in heaven, right? All right. So it's got two things to it. You got a spiritual. The briars will try to make everything physical. They try to explain everything and figure it out. And you can't do that. You're not going to figure out the Trinity, you know, and that sort of thing. Or the body of Christ, which I'll mention some things about that in a bit. But they try to explain all that stuff, figure all that stuff out, and really they get into a point where when they're in their teaching, their church is the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. So you know what that gives the pastor the ability to do? It gives him the ability to change your destiny. If you all of a sudden start reading heretical material and start believing in dispensations or whatever, and he's like, oh, heresy, no, and kicks you out, then, and you die the next day, in their mentality, you're not in the bride of Christ, you'll be a friend forever. And that gives that preacher a power over your eternal destiny. Your position in eternity. That's heresy. That's Nicolaitanism, where you've got the clergy above the laity and all that sort of thing. And the stuff is just super prevalent amongst the independent Baptists. Now there's different degrees. The Hiles Anderson, Dr. Hiles, good man, but on this point I disagree. But they say, are you a brighter? He'd say, no, I'm not. He'd say, since a church is a called out assembly, then when we're all called out and assembled, all the saved are called out and assembled in the air, then they're assembled, then they're in the bride, and then everybody's going to be married to Jesus Christ. But in the earth, or on earth, if you've got to be a member of their churches or the proper churches in order to be in the body of Christ. So in practice, they're brighters, but it's kind of a political position there. You know, something changes at the rapture, that sort of thing. And he said, well, I don't understand what all you're talking about. That's fine. Don't worry about it. But, you know, if you ever have to deal with a brighter, maybe some of this come back to you or something like that. But I hope you don't. I hope you don't have to deal with a brighter, because dealing with them is like dealing with the Church of Christ. They're just, you get to a point where you just say, you really think, you really are nuts. You know that, don't you? I mean, you just get the end of your rope. But look at Ephesians 5. And again, a briar, if you just want to put it in a nutshell, thinks that his local church is the bride and the body of Jesus Christ. That's, and it has to be started by a mother church. There's got to be a mother church that had a mother church that had a mother church that goes all the way back to John the Baptist. That's the briars, okay? It's very similar to some Catholic doctrine and stuff like that, you know? You take the Catholic Church of Christ stuff and you're pretty close there, you know? And you say Baptist? Yeah, Baptist. Yeah, Baptist. Ephesians 5, and we'll start in verse 22. Ephesians 5:22, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, the reason I went here, that this is an analogy of the church. Now, lots of times when we preach on the home, we can go here and it works. I mean, it's good preaching, and there's a dual application here, no doubt. But Paul is going to use a husband and his wife as a picture of Christ and the church. And that is what you picture, but the writers pull it so far into the physical that they get out of balance. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And let me ask you something this morning. Who's the head of First Baptist Church here? How many say Jesus Christ? Let me see your hands. How many say Pastor Williamson? Let me see your hands. Very good. Those, you're right. Jesus Christ is not the head of this church. See, what you're doing, I'll explain it. What you're doing, you're confusing the spiritual and the physical. Okay? Spiritually, yes, we want to think that Jesus Christ is the head of, is it Seminole or First Baptist Church? Either Seminole, First Baptist Seminole Church of Alabama. Seminole Baptist. But the head of this church, that man right there. You say, why? This is a physical church. See, when you read that, for Christ is the head of the church, it didn't say Christ is the head of the churches. Do you see the difference? See, churches would be physical local churches. The church, which is his body, is one, and it's spiritual. See that thing? And that's, the writers read that as Christ is the head of our local church. No. And I'll prove that to you in just a couple verses. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know, local churches have lost people in them. They say, no. It's a regenerated membership. Well, ideally, yes. But technically, you don't even know if I'm saved. Technically, you don't know who's saved here today. Now, you can know them by their fruits, but that's a gauge the Lord said to go by. But the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of spirit. You don't know. I mean, there's illustrations galore of deacons getting saved or people. I mean, there's illustrations of preachers getting saved. So, you know, it's a local church membership is saved and lost. The body of Christ, it's 100% saved. There's no lost people in that. And it says there, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Notice one, didn't say the bodies. The husband and wife are the physical illustration of a spiritual truth. All right? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, they would read that as their local church is subject unto Christ. It's a reference to the local church. Oh, really? Let me ask you something. If that's the local church there, therefore, as the local Baptist church is subject unto Christ. Let me ask you, where are the churches from 500 years ago? Where's the churches from 1,000 years ago? Do you think it was the Lord's will for a church to go apostate? I trow not. You know, but where are they? Oh, yes, the church is subject unto Christ. Oh, really? Then we'd have churches that would be almost 2,000 years old right now. It's an exception to find one that's 100 years old right now. And you would think if they were, you know, 1,500 years old, they'd be pretty good size, you know. Or at least there, but you go to Europe, where are they? You go to Antioch, where is it? You go around the world, they're not there. Oh, as the church is subject unto Christ? No. They'll go for a while. And then they go apostate. You got to start new ones. Therefore, but I'll tell you what, the church, which is his body, is subject unto Jesus Christ. See, how do you know that? At the rapture, the church is going, whether it likes it or not. Whether you're ready or not, when the Lord calls your name and says, come up hither, you're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You're going. You're subject at the rapture. That's the church, but it's not the local. It's not the local, independent, true Baptist church, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm Baptist, don't get me wrong. I'm Baptist because it's biblical and that sort of thing. But to the briars, they go overboard, they carry it too far. And therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And of course, that wife's a picture of the church and submitting to her husband. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. How did he do that? He died for her. So the man's got to deny what he wants to do, oftentimes, so he can take care of his wife. You know, you want to go fishing, and she's got things to do. Amen. Dual application here. Husbands, love your wives. I mean, you get going out there and doing what you want to do all the time. She's going to wonder if you love her. But don't you know the Lord loves you, man? The things he does for you and takes care of you, and he's always there. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's no doubt the Lord loves you. No doubt about that. He's proved it over and over and over. And you know what's amazing about that? This is in my notes. What's amazing about that? It's amazing how oftentimes we doubt. And I preached on that, but... And a woman, she'll need reassurance, reassurance, reassurance. And a man will say, I thought we got that settled. Not in her mind. Not in her mind. Not in her heart. And you got to show her over and over. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice Christ didn't give himself for the churches. That thing? It's the church in here in Ephesians is not the physical. He's not referring to a physical. That's a spiritual church. You realize most of the church is already in heaven. Do you know that? I mean, we're at the end of this thing. We know that. We're talking 99% of the body of Christ already up there. You know that? And yet the body of Christ is in heaven. I'll get to that. When you get the body of Jesus Christ and try to understand that, and then you think about the church, which is his body, you know what? Humanly, you're never going to understand that 100%. The briars try to make it understandable by making it their local church, and they miss out there. Notice, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Didn't say he loved the churches and gave himself for them. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And you get born again by this book. And this whole book, it'll wash you, it'll clean you up. You know what's sad about that? How many churches can't get clean because they got dirty water? Not something. Man, God's been good to us. That is just as pure and pristine and clean as ever. And there's people around here today, and they're getting dirty water dumped on them. Actually, they're kind of getting sewage. You know, when you think about blasphemy over there in Isaiah 14, where title for Jesus Christ given to devil, they're actually getting some sewage dumped on them. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. And notice the he there, that's Jesus Christ. In that book back there that I wrote, I got a quote by a guy, I forget the guy, he's out in California. But he says, we're going to present our churches to the Lord as chaste virgins. He just substituted himself for Jesus Christ. As a pastor, I'm going to present my... Bad, man, bad. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know, that's how the Lord looks on you right now. You have no spot, you have no blemish. You're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he looks on you, and you're absolutely perfect. I'll tell you, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. All right, every now and then, you just need to stop and realize that, and just take a deep breath, and just realize everything's all right. Everything's all right. Say, man, I just can't do anything right. Everything's all right. That's a blessing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And now he's going to bring the application together. That is that a husband and wife are one flesh. But if you look at my wife and I, you see two. Physically. So you got to get that thing, that physical and the spiritual. You got to get that the difference there. Physically, we're two. Spiritually, we're one. Physically, there's many churches. Spiritually, there's only one. And you got to get that thing straightened out there. The bride's got to get that thing straightened out. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. See, here comes the application. For we are members of his body. Stop right there. When I say body of Christ, you know what I mean? The body of Christ. You say, well, yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, but the writers don't. When they say body of Christ, they think they're a local group of people. They think local church, body of Christ, local church. No, the local body, local body, local body. I mean, you see that, hear that stuff. And when you got saved, and we'll look at some of this stuff, you became a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Now that, you can just sit and meditate on that for a long time. That's amazing. You want to know how much? Go to John 17. I don't have a clock, so Brother Rusty, when I get close or whatever, just let me know. But look at this thing. Now this, brothers and sisters, this is an amazing thing you're going to read. And I know you've already read it, probably most of you, if not all of you. But this, what you're going to read is very, very deep. Very good. But watch this now. Now, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. The one over there in Matthew, that's not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. And in John 17, you see why? Because this is the Lord praying. And he was praying for you. Realize, 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for you. And he always gets his prayers answered. Well, no, that's not true. Gethsemane. He didn't get that one answered. He said, "If let this cup pass me, nevertheless, not my will." I guess in a way, but notice now, look at John 17, and look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, talking about the disciples, but for them also, which shall believe on me. Have you believed on the Lord? Couple of you have. Amen. If you believe on the Lord, you know what? Jesus Christ, this is him praying for you. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, if you're saved. Now here's the prayer. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, now you illustrate. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. Now, explain that. How do you explain that? I mean, we know Jesus Christ and the Father, that Trinity, are one. I mean, he says, I and my Father are one. The Lord's praying, saying, Father, like you and I are one, I pray that they'd be one with us. Isn't that what it said? Now, that's an amazing thing. That didn't happen when you went through the baptismal water. That happened when you were born again. All right. But that's an amazing thing. I mean, this is, excuse the California vernacular, this blows my mind. I mean, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me. I've given them. Pastor's got that sermon on glory, shame. Where am I? I've given them that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them. Is the Lord in your body right now? It sure is. That Bible says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The God of the universe is in me. Do I understand it? Yes and no. I understand it because I know he's there. And I know I was so empty before I got saved. I was so empty. And it's been filled, and I know he's there. But to fully understand that thing, in my mind, I don't. In my heart, I do. That's amazing. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, not in one denomination. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Do you realize you're one with Jesus Christ? You're one with God the Father. You're one with him. As God the Son and God the Father are one, so are you. You say, how can that be? Because you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Go back to Ephesians. But if you don't acknowledge the spiritual designation, you'll miss this whole thing. And the writers, they don't get it. One, we're one in unity. No, that's not it. I'm one in Christ. Notice Ephesians 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body. Now, to make it more plain, of his flesh and of his bones. Now, just look at that thing. You're a member of the body of Jesus Christ, the literal body of Jesus Christ. That's why we're seated in heavenly places where Christ is. It says, look at that, in Ephesians, is it 2? Someone help me out here. For you're seated in heavenly places, is it 6? Yes. And it hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you get saved, you get baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And right now, if you're saved, you're already in heaven. You're already there. As the song says, I'm already in heaven just waiting on my body to be. Amen. I mean, you know, these are things that I know are true. The Bible says it. To fully understand it, it's like, and to fully explain it is hard. But go to 1 Corinthians. You're bone of his bone, flesh of his. That's something, man. That's something. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse. I'll just look at verse 12. For as the body is one, not, you know, 500 or 600. For as the body is one, well, in one type. They can't go to the Greek anymore. Too many Bible believers around. They used to go to the Greek. Well, that word really means one type, you know, or one true type. Or whatever. They can't do that anymore, so they just say, well, what that really means is. It's like, oh, yeah. Well, it says what it means what it says. And it says, one, who has the body is one and hath many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, capital S. Now, I didn't know this happened to me when I got saved. There's a lot of things happen when you got saved you don't realize. There's probably a bunch more stuff I still don't realize. For by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body? Now, here's how the writers handle that. A writer says that's water baptism. And so Herb Evans in his pamphlets and writings, says, what this really means is, for by one Spirit is a man enabled to baptize somebody into the body of Christ. That's how he words that. He writes it right out just like that. Says, that's what that is saying. No, that isn't what it said. But that's what they believe. By one Spirit. I mean, I remember that preacher, the church I was in, and he's saying, if someone needs to be baptized, can any Christian baptize? And he asked his deacon. The deacon said, well, yeah. He goes, no, sir, no, sir. He said, I am the one that's authorized, you know. Authority, authority, authority. You have no authority. They keep talking about authority, authority. It's just crazy. But for by one Spirit, and I'm getting rabid, but this stuff just, I've been around it, man. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you got saved, the Spirit of God immersed you into the body of Jesus Christ. Put you in that body, and you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. When did you begin to drink of the Holy Spirit of God? It's when you got saved, right? To the writers, it would be when you entered the baptismal waters. I mean, the baptismal waters, you know, if that puts you into the body of Christ, for by one Spirit is a man enabled to baptize you in the body of Christ, then the waters would enable you to start drinking the Spirit of God. I started drinking the Spirit of God the moment I got saved. Go back to Ephesians 5. You say, well, preacher, this is just, you'd be surprised how many of the Baptist churches out there believe this stuff to one degree or another. It's crazy, man. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. For this cause. It's an illustration of truth. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Look at verse 32. This is a great mystery. So you're never going to fully understand it. Paul says the greatest illustration is a husband and his wife. They're two. They're one flesh. That's the illustration of Christ and church. That's the illustration. But it's still a great mystery. I mean, explain how I can be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. All I can do is believe that. But boy, that's an amazing thing. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Again, the writers, they try to make it all physical so they can understand it. And it's a great mystery. If you can understand it, then you're God. You're already in heaven. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now go to 2 Corinthians. We'll look at a couple more things here. 2 Corinthians. And they get going on visible and invisible. Is the church visible or invisible and all that sort of thing. And saying, well, bless God, I'm glad I've got a visible wife, you know, and the church is visible. But the body of Christ is eternal, right? I mean, he says, yes, sir, I got a visible wife. Well, show me the groom. Show me the, if the church is visible, would you show me the groom? Where, you know, they don't mind saying the Lord's invisible. But look at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. Brighters aren't that way. They look at what's seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. All right? If the church is visible, then it's just temporary. But that church, which is his body, is eternal, and right now you don't see the whole thing. Matter of fact, technically you don't see it. Which is seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that body of Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, right now you don't see it. You don't see it, but we're going to. He's going to appear one day in glory and call us up there, and we're going to meet the groom, bridegroom, and be married to Jesus Christ. Now you think about that. Married to the King of Glory. Man, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that just, what a position. What a future. I mean, I remember when I was lost, I'd look ahead when I was a teenager, and I'd try to look at my future, you know, just what plans or whatever. And it was a black, blank board. There was nothing on it. I saw nothing. There was no reason to live. There was nothing. I got saved, and man, it just went, and it's like, wow. And then you get reading that book and you start seeing your future and getting a glimpse. We look through a glass darkly. But I mean, the things that God's prepared for them that love him, and the mansion and the bodies and married to the Lord. I mean, it's just great. Man. And it's not because I'm a Baptist. It's because of him. It's because of him. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These writers, you read their writings, they're already boasting. Oh, yes, we're the true church. Yes, we're going to party hardy at the marriage supper of the Lamb while the others come up and serve us. That's what they write it just like that. They say, we're going to be married to the Lamb while, you know, John Wesley and them, they'll be serving us. And nuts, man, nuts. Crazy. But anyway, it's good to be saved. And there's a number of things. I will close up here. I don't know what time it is, but a number of things happened to you when you got saved. And one of them was that when you got saved, the Spirit of God took your soul and baptized you into the body of Jesus Christ. You became one with the Lord. And if you could lose your salvation, which you can't, he'd have to cut off an arm. See, you're a member, right? Well, go there. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'll close on this. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Look at 1 Corinthians. Keep your place there. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 1. Writers will say, well, it's written in the local church, local church, local church. It's written, 1 Corinthians written in the local church, local church, local church. They say that over and over. But they don't read their Bible. And look at 1 Corinthians 1. And notice what it says, verse 1. This is what it's written to. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. They'll say, see there, local church, local church. Yeah, but it's not a period. He's not done. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's everybody that's saved. They can say, well, that means those in the local church at Corinth. All right. I'll give them that for right now. Called to be saints with all, that in every place, that pretty much opens it up. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Yes, he writes to Corinth, but he doesn't limit it to Corinth. He addresses it to all saints. See that thing? Now look at 1 Corinthians 12 and look at verse 27. And by the way, that thing over there in John 17, that isn't even written to a local church. That's John's gospel. I showed that to a guy one time. He said, local church. I said, this isn't written, local church. He just, local church, local church, local church. I said, it's not written. He was stuck. His record was stuck. 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're a member Individually, you're a member of the body of Jesus Christ. So if you could lose your salvation, that would be like the Lord being dismembered. When a person is dismembered, they lose an arm. They lose one of their members. Right? The Lord's not going to lose any members. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads forward to prayer. Father, God, just thank being so good to us, Lord. God, it's just good to be saved. Lord, I marvel to think that I am a member of your body, of your bones, and of your flesh. I don't understand that, God. But I sure enjoy reading about it. And I sure enjoy the identification and knowing that I am, you're in me and I'm in you, and that we're one. God, I just pray you come back soon. Lord, it sure be good to see you. I just pray you help us be faithful till you do call us home. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.